Today on Seculo, a historic week for the country and the world.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
Hey, welcome back to Seculo, folks. And again, I encourage you to support the work of the ACLJ. Let me tell you why. You know, you've been with us all week this week, following the election, following the results. There's still races out there to, of course, determine the House of Representatives and even the Republican majority in the U.S. Senate. We're going to go through that today for you. We're going to go to all of our top, really, the analysts that we were able to bring you. I think some of them are going to be part of the Trump administration. I'm not going to put them on the, we're not going to ask them that. They're going to go through that process. President Trump is going to go through that process. But while they're still with us on the team here, and I think it's been incredible to have them, and I think some may we still may have, others we may not. You're going to hear today from Tulsi Gabbard. You're going to hear from Rick Rennell. You're going to hear from Mike Pompeo, and of course the ACLJ team as well. We're going to talk through all those issues from the voting issues to the victory to legal issues, and kind of the topics and the main issues facing the incoming president. We know, of course, President Trump's priorities, and we know the foreign priorities, the domestic priorities, of course, getting America back on track in economically. These issues that really affect people in the pocketbook, the inflation, getting our economy and roaring again, kind of unleashing what we saw the potential for America under the first Trump administration could be if you unleash American kind of the idea that people want to be entrepreneurial, they want to start businesses, but you've got to cut red tape so they can do it. And of course, a lot of that involves in how you're dealing with the world. I mean, one of the top issues facing our country that we all know is the border. Now that we have a Republican House, it looks like, maybe a small number, and we're not there yet, but definitely a Republican Senate, of course, Trump in the White House, and a team that will be then appointed by President Trump. We know we've got to get the border secured. And we've got to do that for a couple reasons. Economic reasons, because cities and towns are being overrun. Hospitals can't deal with the number of people. Security reasons, terrorists have been caught at the border. We know that. And you want to put a stop to that by again, putting more resources, if you need to build more wall, if you need more agents, and also the idea that the American people are being killed by the drugs that are coming across the border. And you see that, I see that as an act of terrorism from those cartels who are working with the Chinese, and that we've got to hold people accountable, whether it's governments that aren't doing the job, whether it's these international terror groups that work with those cartels that have killed so many young Americans, has been the number one cause of death, that those are issues that we can deal with. We don't have to have that open border that way. We about the confirmation battles. That is, again, something that will be nasty. So it's a time when we've got to stay together. And I think, when we talk to people like Tulsi Gabbard and RFK Jr. have joined the team, and again, they brought a lot more people. We'll eventually be able to look at all those numbers and kind of figure it all out. But by leading in the popular vote and by the big win that we didn't have to wait 3 days to know who the president of the United States was. And honestly, it was really before midnight and you honestly knew where it was going. It was just people were cautious because of what happened in 2020. And at the end of the day, that means getting the right people through. We know the left is going to try to, hurt them. They try to undercut them and try to almost delegitimize them, even if they've got the votes to be confirmed, so that somehow the American people won't trust them or dislike them. Let's stick together. Does everybody agree on every little thing? Of course not. But on the big issues, protecting the First Amendment, being a leader in energy again, understanding what we're feeding our kids and what's in our food. And why are we a first world nation with all this farming that we do? And we have chemicals in our food that are banned in most countries, especially in first world countries. Wars that have no end in sight now have an end in sight. Our allies that know they will get support, like Israel, and they won't have to worry. We've got to get to that point, and we've got to get those people in place. And we have to have the resources to help. Donate today in our Faith and Freedom Drive at aclj.org. to Seculo. We are joined by Tulsi Gabbard, who's part of our Seculo team here on the broadcast. And Tulsi, first, give everybody a sense. I know they've been looking forward to hearing from you of what it was like, one, to join that team, and those last couple months running up to Election Day, and then, of course, seeing the results of all of that nonstop work that you've been engaged in, sometimes on your own on the campaign trail on behalf of the campaign, sometimes with RFK Jr., in bringing in, I think, a whole new group of voters, Tulsi, that may not have even considered voting on Election Day, or were looking for how this administration coming in will be different. And now that we know people like you and RFK Jr. will be around, but what was it like just to get our team, who's been, you know, getting to know you over the process you've been on air with us leading up to and then on Election Day?
Yeah, it's been quite incredible, especially on election night, as we all were watching those results roll in, really to see how the American people's voices were heard. What I saw and felt was just so hope inspiring, because when you look at what happened throughout this campaign, really, frankly, what happened since 2016, everything that the power elite and the Democrat elite, the national security state, the military industrial complex, everything that they threw at President Trump, everything the propaganda media threw at them, everything with big tech trying to manipulate what information we're allowed to see, the American people saw through it, and they voted for a president who has clearly shown through his record and through his message to the American people in this campaign that he stands for free speech, that he is eager to bring prosperity back to America again and make life easier and better for the American people. And as he has said over and over, that he is the president who wants to end wars, not start them. It was hope inspiring to see that in this Democratic Republic, when we use our voices and when we see beyond Democrat versus Republican, but look for a leader who's going to put the American people first, it works. And so now the real challenge lies ahead of just helping, as I'm here in Palm Beach now, to try to help President Trump with great options and a good team of people to help support him in carrying out this work once he takes office.
Yeah, I mean, that's the next question, Tulsi, which is, we know, of course, that looks like we're going to have we've got a Republican Senate, might be with 53, possibly with 54, but 53 looks more likely right now, as votes are still being counted, which is crazy. We could talk about that on the side on a whole other show. But as that's moving forward, it does, again, I think, give you even broader options to choose in a cabinet, and not just cabinet, but your advisors as well. Anybody who's got to go through that confirmation process that we know now with majorities in the Senate can't be totally stalled out by Senate Democrats who just, you know, are trying to usually ruin some. They try to pick and choose a few that they try to, you know, ruin their lives, even if they are going to get ultimately confirmed. But we know that's a key, as you said, to getting, you know, as president, you've got to put those people in place, because of all the things we're talking about are big issues that takes more than one person, takes more than just the president, but a team willing to implement it and pushing back against a bureaucracy which has not been friendly, and it's probably not going to be friendly at the beginning. But what do you see from you too? I mean, because I think it's unique because you joined that team. That what do you see as like top priorities? I mean, obviously we know free speech and the ideas of protecting the First Amendment, but the actual what legislative things we can get done in policy wise when it comes to this kind of messy situation we're in the world with Russia and Ukraine, the Middle East as well.
Yeah, well, the first thing, as you said, with the people that President Trump chooses to be a part of his team, in my view, they're going to have to be ready to really fight. And it's not just that we got to be clear-eyed about what the challenges are going to be. You know, there are some Republicans who are serving in Congress who are pretty entrenched in that establishment, people who President Trump has had to take on before. And in these battles that ultimately he has won, and not just electorally, but with policy. So really, this is going to require having a strong team of people who are not thinking about what their next job is going to be, or, you know, the big book deal they plan to have at the end of it, but people who are really willing to go to fight and battle on behalf of the American people. to be able to get President Trump's agenda enacted. It's not, you know, you were talking a little bit about the confirmation process. Obviously, that's where it starts. And I think that's where I just would encourage your listeners and viewers to keep an eye out for how the big special interests, big pharma, the military-industrial complex, and others are going to, in the national security state, they're going to try to undermine President's agenda. We got to remember that these are people who do not respect our democracy. They don't respect the voices of the American people. So even though our voices were heard in this election, it's not the end of the fight. They're going to do everything they can to try to neuter Trump. And this is in Congress in some places. But as you mentioned, it's also in the administrative state and the bureaucratic state who want to try to wait him out or slow roll him or block him for the next 4 years so that he's not able to deliver for the American people. This is how dangerous a mindset it exists in the entrenched Washington establishment.
The one thing I think is interesting, because again, he's someone who has served as president and went through those 4 years, 4 years out of office, and now we'll have 4 years back in office, is that we all remember the issues that were, a lot of them, kind of, I wouldn't say self-induced, because this was someone coming totally outside of the process, but by some of the advisors and people who just weren't thinking as much about, oh, this person's resume looks great, so let's put them in this position. And then ultimately thought, well, because he's an outsider, he's going to let me basically make all the decisions I want. And so I'm going to run this department this way. And we saw that conflict. And I think we saw Jim Comey even take advantage of that by walking FBI agents in and not going through the normal process of going to the White House counsel to schedule interviews or even allow those interviews to take place. So I don't think that, again, we have to be in that position again. And I think that's the goal, is that you can hit the ground, right, Tulsi? I mean, you want to be able to hit the ground running the moment that you've taken that oath, putting forward that team and getting not just the top names in place, but their people in place as well, so that from day one and on, you can start putting forward those policies you've been campaigning on into action, especially while you've got what should be a much as friendly of a Congress as you can ask for as a president. I mean, you don't usually always get, you know, the House and the Senate. You might only have it for a couple years. You don't want to play out longer than that. And so there's a lot to do. But like you said, those interest groups, right, like they didn't lose on election night. They may have lost some of their influence from people that are that were in Washington, D.C. on the right and the left, but they still have the money and the resources to fight back, like you said. And so we are going to be fighting some big outside influences as well.
That's right. And I think that's, if there's any message that I hope your listeners and viewers take away, is this. We won. We the people won on election night. But we got to stick together and stand strong for the battles that are ahead, so that we can remind every single elected official in Washington, D.C., that we the people have the power. And so if they start to bend to the interests of these major corruptive and corrosive entities and organizations, and they make decisions that are not in support of the mandate that President Trump has brought forward, we have to hold people to account in every way possible. I really am hopeful that in this administration, we're going to see far more transparency than we've ever had before from any federal government, that we're going to see, you know, with the help of the Elon Musks and, you know, others who are obviously Bobby Kennedy and people who are going to tell the American people every single day, here's what's going on, here's where the problems are, here's who the problems are, and here's what we got to do to overcome this. Here's where we need to make cuts. Here's where we may need to invest a little bit more. I think with that transparency and including the American people in this work, this is very much aligned with what President Trump has always done. I could see him, and I'm not speaking for him, but I would not be surprised if he continues to make time to go out and have these big rallies to tell the American people what's going on, where the problems are, and what we got to do to fix them and to solve them. So the work really is just beginning now that this election is over. And as you said, it is critical, and President Trump is focused on making sure that he can hit the ground running with the A team by his side, ready to get to work.
We've only got about a minute, Tulsi, but I did want to say too, I think, you know, there were some new issues too that expanded. I think we don't have to even really dive deep into the numbers to know about, when we look at the numbers, we look at the popular vote, issues like health, issues like the, like you've talked about, this military-industrial complex that were kind of new for Republicans to really start thinking about this election cycle and voters in general, people who may not even voted. And we grew the tent. I mean, and it's a big thanks to you for stepping out, taking the heat that you take for doing that, because it's clear with those amount of votes, Tulsi, that with 30 seconds left, that we brought a lot of new people on board to this team, whether it doesn't have to be a party, but about the issues that are important.
President Trump talked about it over and over. He said this is a movement of love, and it is. And that's how all of these people came together, out of love of country and love for each other and the knowledge that we got to fight for our freedom and our future.
Tulsi, thank you for taking that time. Get a little rest, but we need you to keep working. We will be right back on Seculo. All right, welcome back to Seculo. And again, someone else who has been very key to this victory and have been traveling the country at a time, again, for years, folks, that we've been, we've had these team members on who have been ready to do what they needed to do to get President Trump back to office, to make sure that the country had an opportunity to get back on track quickly instead of having another 4 years. And we are joined now by former Secretary of State and our Senior Counsel for Global Affairs, Mike Pompeo. And Secretary Pompeo, I know I texted you last night or this morning, I guess, but just your reaction from this overwhelming victory from so many different parts of America's fabric, which was so encouraging to me and my family, which was to see all of these different groups of people come together to support President Trump, his message, his ideas, and what he wants to do for the country and the world.
Isn't it remarkable what we witnessed? We witnessed Americans from every race, from every faith, from every economic background just say enough. This has been a terrible 4 years. What President Trump delivered to the United States, to everyone, was a fundamentally good thing. The world wasn't on fire. And we saw them just walk into the polls and demonstrate massive common sense, exactly like our founders anticipated, exactly like this organization, the ACLJ, works for, on these common sense ideas about America's most important traditions. And we saw that manifest itself all across America last night in places one might not have expected. And that bodes well, not only for the team that President Trump will select and put on the field, all of whom we should pray for, but for this nation and its capacity to move beyond what has been the debacle of these last now almost 4 years to a brighter future, a more affordable, prosperous America, and a place where there is more peace in the world. It's a wonderfully good thing for the whole world today, Jordan.
Mr. Secretary, last night's election turned out in a way that I think, in another way that we all hoped for, that it wouldn't be this drawn out, razor thin margin that left everyone with questions. It was a very decisive victory. It looks like that President Trump will have won the popular vote. So hopefully we can put to rest some of those calls to get rid of the Electoral College. But you also see expanding the Senate. The House is in very good shape to retain the majority. We won't know that for a little bit. But what kind of mandate has the American people sent to Washington with this election that we saw last night?
Pretty clear message. Stop the madness of wokeism. Close our southern border. Create American sovereignty. Support our allies and friends in ways that don't draw the United States into endless wars. Build an American economy on American energy. These were the messages that resonated with Latin Americans, Hispanics, African Americans. These are messages that resonate all across America, which is like, we just want our kids to go to good schools and we just want them to have the opportunity that our generation had. And the mandate to go work on this, to protect religious freedom around the world and to deliver these outcomes could not have been more clear. I think the president will stay on that mission. It's what he campaigned on. And much like I witnessed personally in his first 4 years, I am very confident that President Trump will wake up every morning and say, what did I promise the American people I will do? And how do I go make it more likely that I'll achieve that today? And as long as he and his team stay focused on that, I think the world and America will be far better off.
to address also was I feel like it's also a referendum on the safety and security of our families. That's something that I felt as those results were coming in, a moment of relief because of things like the Abraham Accords that you obviously were instrumental in, that there was no real big threats of terrorism under the Trump administration. And honestly, in the last 4 years, that impending thought that we are headed towards chaos and even just the chaos in the streets of our own country or in our schools, I think it played a pretty big part in people's final decisions on where they're going to vote. Not only the economy, which I know played a huge part, but also just the safety and security, even the feeling of safety and security in our country.
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt about that. I heard someone this morning on MSNBC. I took my life in my own hands and watched it for about 20 minutes this morning. There was a gentleman who said, you know, no, you guys, he was countering what was being said. He said, no, you're wrong. I walk into a store and, you know, shaving lotion is behind closed locked counters at the Target or the Walgreens. That I think that gets exactly to your point. The American people could feel that their security and their children in schools was just really at risk. And you know, so many Americans have friends or family members who are serving in the United States Armed Forces. I don't think they had any confidence in our commander in chief. By the way, he's still our commander in chief. We've not heard a word from him. I think you're precisely right. This idea that somehow America's security, its place in the world, and therefore the personal security of every American was something that was being called into question. They could feel it. And I think while foreign policy is almost never top of the line issue, I think the American people could get a sense that their security here at home and around the world was threatened, and they wanted to say, nope, we're not going to take this anymore.
And Secretary Pompeo, I think so too. The idea that we needed a big win, and we needed a big win because we want to fight off this bogus lawfare that has been an attempt to plague Donald Trump and damage Donald Trump and make it more difficult for him to campaign or try to distract him. Of course, none of that worked. The American people saw right through it. But that this is that moment too, to put things like, whether it's, you know, switching to a popular vote and they realize that's like might not work out well for them, but also the idea of using these legal systems to go after political opponents in America, like we're some third world banana republic, is going to be something that was very short term in our country and not something that becomes entrenched in the United States of America.
Jordan, I think the American people could see that. They saw right through this. It was indecent. The Biden administration weaponized the Justice Department. You know, I hear them talk about, oh, they're worried that Donald Trump will somehow go after his adversaries. Well, they use the federal government to indict him and go after his family. I pray that President Trump will restore faith and integrity in these institutions and get the FBI, the Justice Department, all of our central institutions back on mission, back doing the things that matter, not behaving, to your point, like a banana republic, not using that power to accrete more power for themselves and protect themselves. We desperately need to get this right. The American people could see that, they could feel it, and they mandated that. They gave the president the authority to go out and clean these institutions up, set them back on mission, get them back on the right track so that we can restore faith and confidence in them in the same way that last night's election, I think, restored faith and confidence in our election system as well.
We got about 30 seconds. I'm not talking about all of the bureaucracy, because there's some very good people in our government who sacrifice and work hard. But those who have been problematic for Republicans for decades, we've got 4 years here. How do you think they're feeling this morning? Those bureaucrats who loved leaking, they loved putting out information, they like to get information to the Congress to see if they could get impeachment going or an investigation going. I don't think they ever thought that Donald Trump was really coming back. I really think they thought he could not win, and now they've got to deal with this reality as well.
Jordan, you're right. There's some great people that have dedicated their life to service of America. And then there's a bunch of folks, I saw them at the State Department, who tried to undermine President Trump and me and what we were trying to achieve. You know, I hope not what they're thinking this morning. I hope that they are sharpening their resumes. I hope they're all trying to figure out what they're going to do next, because the American people deserve better than having people undermining what it is that they voted for yesterday and what they're demanding President Trump do. And we need every federal official to deliver against that mandate.
Absolutely right, and they should. This is a mandate to get them out. We'll be right back on Seculo.
keeping you informed and engaged. Now, more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
Fire! Get out of here!
You, that would be Jack Smith. Just to update people, if you're just joining us on the air, Jack Smith, the special counsel, whose special counsel status, by the way, we also filed in the case that's pending at the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals, has been revoked by the district court in this case out of Florida, the case involving the classified documents, and they will have to decide again, do they even want those cases to move forward about whether or not the special counsel is even constitutional? I don't think they will, and I think that what we're hearing from all reports is that Jack Smith is going to be, in some sense, either withdrawing his team, and then the Department of Justice would withdraw the charges. That would involve Washington, D.C. and the charges from that pending, you know, coming out January 6th, but also the classified documents case, and it would put an end to the case over whether or not his position was constitutional or not, which means the next time around a special counsel gets appointed, they could probably still do their work. They'd be in the one jurisdiction may have an issue, so but it wouldn't be final that that's unconstitutional, even though we do believe it is when you look at the situation that there's no law. There's no money behind it. I mean, the list goes on and on. Now, to update you too, in New York, Judge Mershon, that's the one where they could use the 34. He's, you know, convicted of 34 felonies. Well, Tuesday, he's got a hearing to decide what to do. As Will explained, there's evidential problems there because he brought in people that now would have been covered likely by the presidential immunity case out of the Supreme Court. And so it gives him an easy way to say, you know what, this whole thing is tainted. And we're throwing at least these felony counts out, probably the whole case with the misdemeanors too. But if those are moved down to the misdemeanors, that becomes, again, a question of money, and that will be appealed by President Trump's attorneys. Same thing goes, again, with Letitia James in those cases that are the civil cases involving, again, the buildings. Remember, she won the seizure, and President Trump put forward the bond. I think that there's going to be, again, serious issues there, but that is not; those are not criminal matters. And then, of course, you know, you look at Georgia, and there's hearings coming up there about whether or not that Letitia James should be able to remain in any way as a DA in that case with all the problems. So they weren't even close. They were like, those were starts and stops, and a lot of this was self-created. And that's what should happen when you're engaging in political lawfare, which I hope we've lived through as a country once and for all and don't see again, and that we're able to get into Washington, D.C. And this is what is going to be so important with the work of the ACLJ, is to get into Washington, D.C. and assist in making sure the bad actors in these agencies aren't making decisions that can continue eroding the system of justice we have, our legal system, and eroding the confidence we have in our government. And you remember, you know, sometimes you say, oh, well, since President Trump, maybe ACLJ won't be as busy. We were busier. There were probably more lawsuits filed by the ACLJ against the federal government while President Trump was in office than maybe even the Biden administration over these 4 years. And we'll have to look because, again, the Biden administration, there still might be more lawsuits. They've still got 74 days left, so we might not be done with filing lawsuits there. So understand, when you talk about, you know, coming in, fixing things, getting rid of the bad actors, making it easier to remove these bureaucrats who have who are not following their instructions and are actively, whether it's leaking information or actively trying to thwart the instructions and the policies of the President of the United States and who they designate to be in the cabinet. Now, this is going to be important, too. There will be battles. I mean, yes, there are 52, it looks like, Republican senators, hopefully 53. That should make it a little easier, because even if you lose a couple of the very moderate Republican senators, you've still got 51, right? So, but we know that even if the numbers are there, they will go after these people and try to ruin them and their reputations before they ever get to the job. So part of our work will be is, with those, if good nominations are made, to get behind in their support. It's why we have the ACLJ. It's why we have ACLJ Action all ready to go on Capitol Hill. But we need your support. And in these 2 months, we put together really our budget for the beginning of the year. So we know exactly what we've got to spend and are ready to go. You double your impact your donation. So if you donate $25, that's like $50. Right now at our Faith and Freedom Drive, donate today, aclj.org. We need that support to be ready. Welcome back to Secular. We are taking your calls, too, on this victory. If you got questions, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Rick Grinnell is joining us now. And, Rick, I texted to you, I think it was already today when I did it, but you have been someone, and you deserve credit for it on the broadcast. You've been fighting for President Trump and his ideas for really the last three and a half, almost 4 years on this broadcast, traveling the country through midterms, through different election cycles, working to get this country back on track. So I just want your first reaction, Rick, when you saw the numbers start coming in, not just the ideas that it looked good going into election night, but the actual votes. How did you feel?
Well, it was such a big night, Jordan. It was, I think I felt in the very beginning it was a little slow. I'm frustrated that we don't have our secretaries of state and the county clerks working faster. I think we've got to fix that. There's no reason we can't get this information faster. I mean, look, Arizona has proven to be the most corrupt place for elections. It's unbelievable that they're still at like 50-some percent of the vote counted. Oregon is at 72%. I mean, this is unacceptable to be able to, you know, have a democracy, a republic that works towards transparency and accountability, and yet we can't fix some of these elections issues. But as the numbers came in, certainly the big news for me was Pennsylvania. And then to see Wisconsin and Michigan as well. Now to look at Arizona and Nevada. I mean, Donald Trump just crushed it. He was the campaign manager. He was the campaign spokesman. He was the campaign chief strategist. What we have now learned is that Donald Trump has been running ahead of every single politician who is winning in these elections from the Republican side. He is the leader of the party. We're going to be talking about for the next 20 years who the Donald Trump America First candidate is, and he deserves every single credit for this.
Yeah, I mean, I think so. I mean, he was, listen, even before being shot, I mean, and I say that, Rick, really honestly, I mean, the legal lawfare that was launched against him, I mean, we spent 2 years fighting back on that. I mean, I did interview. I remember getting up at, you know, 5 a.m. every day doing interviews on Fox and Newsmax, those places, just trying to update people, but also trying to keep people calm that this would not impact his ability to run the race, that he's not the kind of person that this would sidetrack. And he proved that as well, how tough he was, not only dealing with that, but dealing with the threats that he faced and the actual attempts on his life that he faced. I know a lot of our, I think, before I get to that question, I know a lot of our listeners, our viewers right now, Rick, one thing I'm sure they'd want to hear from you is what was it like to be around President Trump last night and the family and those who have been fighting, you know, 24/7 for 4 years to get him back?
Look, I was nervous. People around me were nervous. And you'd look at President Trump and he was calm. He was taking calls. He was looking at data, but smiling, joking, always taking time to talk to people. And I was like, wow, this is unbelievable how cool he is. It just, and cool, like, you know, calm. And I just have to say that watching him last night in the midst of this and how calm he was, it just shows Americans that we have the right leader. He maintains this calm, cool, collected attitude. Whether it's about him, whether it's about the safety of our country, he literally is just somebody who is focused. And I think God's got his hand on him. I think he's blessed as a great leader, and we're lucky to have him.
Yeah, Rick, this is Logan. I was going to text you too, but I was like, yo, it's 1 a.m. I'll let you know tomorrow. I think it can't be understated also how much people like you, and of course, the bringing together, when you see that room last night, and there's Elon Musk, and there's Dana White, and there's you, and there's Tulsi Gabbard, and RFK, and this group of people, an unlikely maybe pairing of a lot of different people, it really showed that there was this broad, you know, it almost this morning when I saw those pictures, I went, well, of course, this is how it went. These are people that even my 10-year-old or my 12-year-old son is, you know, knows who they are, appreciates the work they do, knows about it. This was sort of America right there in that room.
Yeah, there's no question. I mean, having Tulsi and RFK Jr., two high-profile Democrats who came over, and while they don't agree with President Trump on everything, they just said he's the best for the job. That was amazing. I think that was it was remarkable. And look, I did a lot of work with the Arabs and Muslims in Detroit, Dearborn, Michigan, the literally the center of Democrats and Arabs for the last, you know, decade. They voted for President Trump. He won Dearborn, Michigan. And now you think about why. It's because people want peace. They don't want wars. And Donald Trump proved that he knows how to deliver peace through the Abraham Accords, through the Kosovo-Serbia negotiations, four economic agreements that he got. This is somebody who knows how to deliver because he's a businessman. He wrote the book, The Art of the Deal. He knows how to do this, and I think you're going to see a lot more of this deal-making for America in the next 4 years.
We also know, I mean, Rick, that he will have the benefit of being president before with a strong Senate majority. We don't know how strong it will be, but we're hoping to add more to that as the votes are counted. I'm frustrated like you. I would like – it's just absurd that we don't have all these votes by then. But the idea that – you know, he is going to be able to go in with a team having been through this before and having 4 years to think about it too, that can go right in and get that work started. It's not like starting from scratch in a brand new administration. This is a team that people like you and others, you have the contacts, you have the resources, you've been working with them, you've been in touch with them. The fact that you were able to go to that community in Dearborn, Michigan, and say, you know, they were welcoming and they wanted to be part of this coalition. I thought last night what was the worst of the left media coverage was how they just started picking and choosing different demographic groups to blame. They still didn't figure it out, Rick, that, you know, people vote individually. They don't just vote as a group. And so, you know, first they were mad at white women. Then it was black men. Then it was Latinos and Hispanics, and then it was just, I think, everybody. I mean, you know, it was basically they were just mad at the country. And that's, I think, what they lost during this entire campaign was trying to put everybody into a box. And like, this box, they only care about this. This box only cares about this. And we'll say that to them, and they'll vote for us. And what we saw was that they weren't going to vote for them, but bigger than that, Rick, is that they came out and voted for Donald Trump. They didn't sit on their hands.
Yeah, look, I think people want to be treated with respect. They want to have a discussion. Nobody in America is black and white when it comes to their views on policy issues. And you need to be able to have these conversations. I mean, look, getting peace is really difficult because you've got to work hard at it. It's so much easier just to ignore problems and let them fester into chaos or war. And I think the same goes for winning elections. You got to show up. Look how hard President Trump worked. He went in to places like California, Madison Square Garden. He did a rally in New Mexico. I mean, he was really working hard in places that people didn't expect. And you compare that to Kamala Harris. Kamala Harris didn't go to Dearborn, Michigan. It reminds me of Hillary Clinton not going to Wisconsin. When a Democrat doesn't go to Dearborn, Michigan, to the heart of Democrat votes, you have to ask yourself, why? What's the problem?
So, Rick, for our listeners, I mean, I think the priority right now, once we all settle down from, and again, I want to give people a day to celebrate. They deserve it. They have been working hard too for 4 years. They've been going through it with us. They've been fighting with us. They've been telling their friends and family. They've been supporting President Trump for literally longer than even the campaign because they saw how he came under attack with the lawfare, with the raids. But then I think, you know, we have to get back down to it. And we've got these races out there like the House races. And I think that's probably where, you know, finishing up some of these Senate races, Rick, and then looking at these House races where there could be some runoffs and legal issues, I think that's where we've got to look.
Yeah, we got to finish this race strong. And then, you know what? We got 2 years from now, we got to do it all over again. Our work never quits to make America great.
Absolutely not. And Rick, it's been an honor, again, having you throughout this process. Congratulations to you. And you really have been one of the strongest supporters of President Trump, clearest supporters of President Trump. You've been all over the world, putting it all on the line. And again, you deserve one of those days too, to just take those congratulations. They are heartfelt. They are serious. And we appreciate you being part of our team as well at the ACLJ. And folks, we appreciate you as well. And we're going to do what Rick just said. We're going to make sure we refocus. This is not over. To make sure we get the strongest possible Congress there for President Trump. Support our work at ACLJ.org. Back to Secul. Yeah, throughout this week, too, we're going to keep breaking down more and more for you. I did want to give people a day to celebrate as well. I mean, it's fun to watch the meltdown of the left, especially because they've been so nasty. I mean, they have been so nasty about all of us. They've called us racist. They've called us Nazis. They've called us fascist. Now they have to call us winners. Because we
landslide
won.
Winners.
Landslide wave winners. Like, we just beat their chosen candidate because they got rid of the guy who was supposed to be their candidate, and they got to pick and choose who they wanted. And that worked well.
Look, I think that should have been a moment maybe we need to look back on, is there was that, you know, lip reading conversation between Barack Obama and Joe Biden at, I think it was at RFK Jr.'s mom's funeral. And there was a conversation where it was like, she's not that strong. You know, I probably could have done better. That's paraphrasing. But I think they knew. They knew in those moments things were not going their way. The spin was out of control because the media has such a hold that there's no way that you could say she didn't have a chance. But I think they knew in the back of their minds that this was not going to go this way. Let's go ahead and take some phone calls. A lot of you are calling in. Let's go to Alex first. Listen on SiriusXM. Alex, you're on the air.
Hey, guys. I just want to say hats off to you and the great job you do. And I appreciate you, over-the-road truck driver, and listening to you keeps me informed and makes the day go by a lot better. And I'll be real brief on what I want to say, and that is prayers for President Trump and you know, what he's got to do to get ready to serve the next 4 years, and pray that he gets some rest between now and Inauguration Day, and him and his family can get ready to make things happen for us over the next 4 years. In respects to that, I'd like to hear what you guys have got to say about, I want to savor the moment and the victory. We shouldn't forget this for a long time. And eventually in the future, we're in 2028, we're going to be facing another presidential election again. What would you say would be the best way that Trump could show J.D. Vance and people that could be potentially on the horizon that they're intricate parts in his policy making of the next 4 years to carry on 4 years beyond that? So that's all I want to say, and thank you for a moment.
Point. It's a really good point, because he's going to be having to bring up the next generation of leaders. Obviously, J.D. Vance is one of those as vice president now, but there'll be others in the cabinet. There'll be others part of the team and others that will run to look at what he did and to say, let's take that and let's take it to the next level. Because you can't stop. You can't stop growing, right? You want to take what he's done, and you want to, as you said, learn the intricacies, but also say, how do we take this and get more votes this way? We should be investing. We learned new places we should invest, that you don't have to be as kind of bold thinking as Donald Trump to say, you know what, we need to go into some of these areas we think we can't win in. It doesn't mean that you have to be ridiculous and waste your money in states that are not going to be, are going to be too difficult to pull off in a statewide race. And there will still be some of those states in 4 years. But what it does mean is that you can go to communities that the left tells you you have no chance in and actually win. And that's how you start a wave. And that's how you also build walls and you have all of these different paths to victory, where last night, before midnight, she really didn't have a path to victory.
No, they were already essentially calling. I mean, I was watching a lot of News Nation's coverage. I got to give it up to them. They were calling it way earlier than anybody else and were taking some big swings, and they were right 100% of the time.
Donald Trump has a lot to live up to now.
No, that's what I'm saying. Two things have to happen. The economy's got to turn around, and the world stage has got to feel safe again. Those are two things. If he does that, remember, like you said, we're going to have a brand new president in 4 years. Guaranteed.
They're going to be running in two.
So this is going to be a really short period of time to see if President Trump can do what he says he can do. Now, he did before, so I'm not going to be surprised that he could do it again, but let's just see what happens. Let's continue on with some calls. Annabelle's in California watching on Rumble, who's an ACLJ champion, which I really appreciate it. You're on the air.
Okay, I just want to say globally and within, our enemies are reloading their political ammunition, as you've said. We must never let our guard down. As citizens, become very active in local politics on all levels. We need fierce legal watchdogs to protect our core values and the liberty of individuals at home and worldwide. Please, I ask all of you listening to become an ACLJ champion. Be assured that you are partnering with the most qualified team of experts to help enable America to reach its greatest potential. God continue to bless our country and the ACLJ.
Thank you, Annabelle. Thanks for all of your support, too, of the ACLJ, for all of you ACLJ champions out there who make sure we have those resources necessary. To our legal team who made sure, even if it was somebody who just needed help making sure they were voting the right way, we had that set up. Now we will start looking at these House races and some of these Senate races to make sure there's nothing going on there, that they need legal assistance, that we can provide at no cost, because, again, those are protecting your constitutional rights. And I think she is right in the sense, and I think we saw that last night. It may have been quiet. Well, listen, we live in a very red state. It was still very quiet where I voted. Mm-hmm. And what I realized was, where I am, is that most of the people I was around voted like I did. And we don't all look exactly the same. We don't all sound the same. We don't all have the same economic background. But one thing that we had in common was this administration, whether we publicly said it like I do for my job and part of my work that I get to do, and that's awesome, that a lot of people don't have that ability to just go into their office and say how they feel, that's how they did it. They've been sick and tired of the way their kids have been taught at school, sick and tired of being told you can't watch what we're teaching them when they were at home with COVID, sick and tired of the attacks on free speech. They like Elon, not like, they love Elon Musk. He's taking back a space program in the U.S., and the fact that he's doing all of that while also protecting our freedom of speech online against big tech is amazing, and he deserves credit for that. People like Joe Rogan, who have these unbelievable careers where they have made hundreds of millions of dollars and don't have to get into this world of politics if they didn't want to, were willing to put their name on the line because they've got kids too. They have teenagers too. And I don't think they want their kids living in a world where what their dad did would somehow be illegal.
Yeah, I want to also say, obviously, there's a lot of people that were fed a lot of lies over the last couple years. So there's going to be a lot of people on your social media feeds, I'm already seeing in mine, who are in full-blown panic. Pray for those people. And let's show them that what those were lies.
Right. We are not Nazis. We are not fascists. We are not trying to destroy democracy. And to those people out there, remember, those people that told you that are all very wealthy, you know, established Washington, D.C. people. And military people. Too, we had some of them. If they truly believed that Donald Trump being president was going to destroy America and destroy democracy as they know it, they wouldn't just be sitting on their hands this morning on cable news talking about it. Okay? That was just political rhetoric at its worst. At its worst, because it led to him almost being killed twice that we know of. Lord knows there are probably other times that we don't know of.
Yeah, I want to thank everyone who's on hold right now.
So pray for President Trump and his security.
Oh, absolutely.
Folks, the rhetoric's going to stay intense. Pray for him. Pray for his team that they, again, make good decisions, that they have that shield of protection around them, that they feel it as well so that you can think clearly because it's tougher when you feel like you're under attack and under assault to not kind of be responsive like that. But you saw from President Trump, I think last night, someone who, maybe for the first time in this kind of acceptance speech, truly grateful to what the American people have given him the opportunity to do, what has only happened once in our history before, which is to come back from being a one-term president and then 4 years later, coming back again as president. It's only happened one other time in our history, only time in our modern history any of us have lived through. Support the work of the ACLJ. We need it because we're watching these races that are still uncalled. We know there's stuff going on. ACLJ.org. Donate today.